This seems a bit strange for me this evening because this is backwards to me in a sense. This is the sermon that I preached on Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. And now we're on the doorsteps of the end of Lent, the last of the Wednesday evening services. Next week is separate and special in a lot of different ways, but we're still talking about God and his gifts of grace and how we come to know God's gifts of grace. Today, I simply want to talk about the gospel, an overview of the fact that God works in our lives to change us from sinful beings to redeemed sinful beings. And while it may not seem like a huge difference, it is a fantastic difference. St. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, "And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived once in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Those words take our focus in this world, from this world, to that which is even greater than this world, to God himself. A simple definition of life might be best described by its opposite. The antithesis of life is death. If something can die, it must be alive. And if something is alive, it must also be able to die. That simple definition helps us to understand our human existence as we look beyond ourselves to redemption from the death that we see in this world that leads us to look to another death, to the death of Jesus on the cross, that leads us to see his arms stretched out, held and fastened not only by nails, but by his love for all those that he seeks to call his brothers and sisters. But the only way that we can ever have the goodness of God is by the grace of God. You know, we're dead in our trespasses, which means that the natural tendency, we just talked about it tonight in class, didn't we, Danny? If you look at all the trees here in Kansas, they all lean a little bit towards the northeast. We're just like that. We don't lean towards God. We lean away from him. We lean towards sin. And sin wants to carry itself out in our lives, in the things that we say and the things that we do. And fortunately, not anyone else knows this except you and God alone, the very things that you think. Because God wants our thoughts and our words and our deeds to be pure before him. We end up living in disobedience, and the natural state then is if we are going to be cut down as we're going to fall the way we lean and be swallowed up by sin. But there is grace. By grace you have been saved. Five simple words that can remind us of that is Jesus died for my sins. Remembering that what has happened isn't because of me. It's not because of you. It's because of him who is our Lord. Another word for grace, or another way of describing grace, is with an anagram, five words. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a more theological answer than the statement of faith that Jesus died for my sins, but it helps us to grasp the mercy that God has for a world that's wayward and wandering. He is rich in mercy towards sinners. And at least while we live here now, he calls us back to repent. But life can be a struggle. And what I mean by that is, if we understand sin and we see where we have done wrong and where we do wrong and where we have tendencies towards wrong, we need God's help. There's a story of a boy who had been in a car accident. He was trapped in the vehicle and he had to have his left arm amputated as a result of the crash. It was a long road to recovery. And his surviving parent decided to help him deal with his life without his left arm by taking him to judo classes. As the boy learned from the judo sensei, the master, weeks of training left him with more dexterity and strength and determination, but he couldn't understand why that after 3 months of practice, the judo instructor only taught him one move. And he taught him how to use that one move in every situation. When he asked why he had learned only one move, the judo master simply replied, "This might be the only move that you know, but it's the only move that you really need." And the boy shrugged and went on. And after a few more months of practice, after a few more months of building skill and coordination and effort, the teacher said, "I think it's time for you to go to a judo tournament." So he entered there and he won his first three matches. Amazed at his success, the boy had made it into the finals and he asked the judo instructor why he had won. Well, the instructor now was very honest with him and said, "Two reasons. First, you have learned a very difficult maneuver and throw in judo. In the whole sport, there's not many that are more difficult than the one that you have been learning and now feel comfortable with. But secondly, the only known way to defend against that move is for your opponent to grab your left arm." And so his greatest weakness was taken by this teacher and turned into his greatest strength. God sees your weakness, and he turns it into a strength that as you rely on him rather than upon yourself, his grace is sufficient. You've heard these words to St. Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness, for when I am weak, then I am strong." You know, we don't often understand our own weaknesses in this way, but we should. To confess our sin is to allow God to do his work within us. First, to wash us from our sin, and then to fill us with his Spirit and his might and his power. God uses his grace to show his glory and reveal his power in our lives by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus lived a holy life, but he died because his righteousness scared the religious leaders. Jesus' teaching troubled their understanding. His life revealed what they lacked. And so they tried to hide, to discredit, and humiliate him. They sought to deny him and ultimately because of their fear, they crucified him. And what looked like Jesus' greatest weakness was his greatest strength, because death could not hold the Holy Son of God. Jesus was raised, and by his life, you and I, we have life. Life with Jesus. Now to live out, knowing that we're handicapped against the wiles of Satan, but knowing that our Master teaches us how to fight temptation. We live serving a God who has served us so well that sometimes we forget that he puts us here on this earth to continue to serve others. By this, all men will know you are my disciples, Jesus said, if you love one another. That can't happen unless it happens by grace alone. It can't happen unless God makes it so. But that is the gospel. God makes it so. Not only in heaven, but here. He grants us faith to hold on to that and live it out in our lives. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to everlasting life. Amen.